This week's program is sponsored by the Physical Attraction Podcast. Find it wherever you listen to podcasts or on the web at physicspodcast.com.
WFOD starts now.
You hear that? I love that.
Dick's Internet Radio Program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by the king of pranks, the albino alligator, a man of spice. Mr. Travis Hulse is here, everyone.
Good evening, everybody.
Guys, Matt is here as well. Hello, Matt.
Hi.
Phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show. On Skype. Guys, after the break, we are going to be talking to veteran film actor Jameson Jones. He's going to be on the program. Looking forward to that. Travis, I hate to do it. I don't want to do it, but I feel we have to talk about Dog Park Lady, right?
Before we get into Dog Park Lady, which I'm going to tell you right off the bat, I skipped past all of the postings about that. I didn't watch the video. I have really no idea the details. But I feel like the biggest news for the top of the show is that we have to mourn the death of Hitler's alligator. R.I.P. to this wonderful creature who finally passed away today at the age of 84.
I didn't know that Hitler had an alligator. Did he like feed people to it?
I assume this alligator was in hiding since Hitler's suicide, right? Like he had to leave. He knew he would probably see a trial of some sort.
Like, but did this alligator live underneath a trap door? Is what I'm asking, Travis.
I assume this was like a diabolical supervillain in cheesy Bond movies deal, where our hero would enter and stand a little bit too close to the desk. And Hitler would have a trapdoor button that he would press, which would drop his enemies into the pool with his alligator in it.
So this alligator definitely ate a Jew, right?
I would assume at least a Jew or two were eaten by this alligator.
Probably like a soldier who did a bad job too, right?
Oh, yeah, those SS guys who totally fucked up.
Yeah, they showed up and they said, "Ooh, mein Führer, they escaped." And he said, 999 and hit the button, and then the alligator ate him.
Absolutely. Like his fury showed no bounds, like Darth Vader when he would choke out his subordinates with the force choke. I feel like Hitler probably also did not deal with fools and fed them to this alligator.
Matt, I took 2 years of German. Did you hear that earlier when I did my 99? That sounded good, didn't it?
Yeah, it was great.
You did? You took 2 years of German?
I did, Travis. I
took 2 years of Japanese, and I can count. I can count to six.
I got a Du bist ein Hausaufgaben. That's about the best I can do.
Ich ni san shi go roku shichi hashi. Maybe I can count to eight.
We used to watch this video all the time, and there was this really big guy, and he'd go, gross, and then this little mouse would walk by and go, klein, and that meant big and small. I know those. Nice. I just remember it from the repetition of the video.
And this is, you got to know, this is before Rosetta Stone. So we didn't have any complimentary things to do at home to learn these languages. This is strictly high school academics.
So, Travis, there's this video circulating on the internet, and everybody's all bent out of shape about it. And let me start off by saying, Travis, I don't understand how people don't, like how what I'm thinking isn't the way that just everyone thinks. I don't get it, and I know that's stupid. Travis, I'm not like a super educated guy. I'm a high school graduate. But when these things happen, and I see these people on Twitter, because every one of these things, everybody pontificates their silly thoughts on it, and they're all so wrong. And I feel like we do these dumb stories every week, like we have to talk about the latest Karen, Travis, the latest Karen on the internet.
Because can't we do a hashtag for this? And I posted this to my own personal Twitter. Can't we do like a Karen is over party so we just stop with the Karen shit?
I'm tired of Karen, Travis.
So gross.
So I'm sorry, but you're going to have to do a little explaining to me. I'm out of the loop on this one.
So, Matt, there's this gal, and she was in Central Park, and her dog was off its leash. It was running around because apparently where the dogs are allowed to run around isn't open. And this place, it's clearly posted, you can't have your dogs running around here. Mm-hmm. And so this gentleman who is an avid birder, Matt, he's a birder. He's a birder.
Is that what they're called? Is that the actual term?
That's what he self-identifies as, Matt, okay. And I'm not going to argue with him. He says...
I would never ask for you to argue with anybody's identification.
He says to the gal, hey, you can't have your dog off its leash. And so she says, well, the place I want to do it... So they have an interaction, and it leads up to, apparently, this fucking guy, Matt, he does not have a dog. He's a birder. But, he's encountered this situation. And I get it. If you're walking around Central Park and there's a bunch of goddamn dogs off their leashes running up to you, you don't know if these are going to be good dogs or bad dogs. You don't want to be accosted by a bad dog when you're just out looking at birds. But this man, Matt, he carries dog treats with him. Just for situations like this, and so
wait, I don't understand.
That's like a postal worker or a UPS driver that carry dog treats so they don't get eaten by dogs.
Oh, so he's been attacked by dogs before. We're dealing with
perhaps
a guy with PTSD. He's been attacked several times, and now he's preparing every time he leaves the house.
Okay,
shit.
So
this could be the day I get attacked.
His account on his Facebook page. Of the interaction the video.
We drudged that up. We had to go find the Facebook page.
Well, this is where the video originated from, Matt. He told her to put the dog on the leash. She said, oh, well, the dog thing is closed. They had a little back and forth. And this is what he said. He said, look, if you're going to do what you want, I'm going to do what I want, but you're not going to like it.
Yes.
And she said, what's
not
that?
Not a great thing to say to a single woman in a park.
In Central Park, they're alone, and he says that to her. And so then he goes to open his bag and fetch his dog treats, and he's going to feed this woman's dog, which nobody wants some weird dude to feed your dog. And that's when the video starts. And granted,
her or him.
He's filming her.
Okay, so he's videotaping himself take his dog treats out of his bag.
He's filming her reaction to this. Grabs her dog to keep her dog from going over to this man who's going to feed the dog. And I mean, granted, we don't know what he's feeding the dog. He could be feeding the dog dynamite, Travis. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
These could be dog treats that have some poisoned pills.
He could inside. Be mad at dogs, see this dog off the leash, and be like, I'm going to poison this fucking dog. So then he starts filming.
That's his passion. He's not only a birder, he loves taking dogs out with poisoned dog treats.
Keep in mind, I'm not defending... This woman is wrong. She's a bad lady. She says to the man, I'm going to call 911 and tell 911 that there's an African-American man threatening me and my dog.
Right.
And he says, well, go ahead and call the police. I don't care. And so she does. And when she does call, she like puts on like a performance. She starts going, oh, my God, there's a man threatening me in Central Park.
Now, is she at any time in this interaction, is she trying to like walk away from him or is she just standing?
Never walks away. And granted, keep in mind, Travis, I don't agree. I think she's wrong.
Right. So he's not like following her or anything.
No.
Just so I get this correct. Okay.
No, he's standing still. She's standing still. She's calling the police and telling them that this man is threatening. And Travis, I could make the argument that what he said, if you're going to do whatever you want to do, I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do, could be interpreted a whole bunch of different ways. If a stranger says that to you in the park,
definitely be taken as a threat.
And so the internet did their thing. They found the woman's name and address. And Travis, let me repeat so that when people hear this, they know she's wrong. I agree that the woman is wrong. I'm not defending her. She's bad. But
put your goddamn dog on a leash, broad. That's the rules.
But like the internet gets it so wrong. So in the last 24 hours since this video has gone viral, her place of employment has fired her. They posted on Twitter, hey, we fired this lady because she's racist. And they repoed her dog, Matt. They took the woman's dog.
Of course.
I don't understand that. That doesn't make any...
Well,
you're an unfit dog mother?
She was holding the dog's collar to keep the dog from going over and eating treats of unknown origin from a strange man she doesn't know.
I hold my dog's collar all the time when I don't want the dog to run after
Travis,
somebody.
Don't say that out loud. I didn't hold my dog was running away from me earlier, Travis. She got way down the neighborhood and she was pissing me off because she was playing a game.
Of course, they all play that goddamn game. Mine does the same.
I'm chasing her through backyards. I'm like, you fucking bastard. But I ended up.
She probably stopped and looked at you for a second and then you got close and she took off again.
Yeah. Yeah. She like, wait, oh, you almost had me. Oh, you almost had me.
I know.
Then I finally get her and I just pick her up and carry her. I didn't do the collar thing because, I mean, Travis, you got to keep an eye on things now. So you don't know which snitch narc has got a cell phone camera. They're going to
don't lie, Mike. You also punched her right in the
kitchen. Take my goddamn dog away from me.
Yeah, I don't know.
You think that dog will probably get euthanized, Travis? I mean, it's going to go to a shelter, and then what? They're going to keep it for... Down. Yeah, I mean, they're just going to end up putting it down.
So essentially what happened is the internet just killed a dog to feel good about themselves for getting this lady fired. I mean, okay, listen. The fun fact about this, I didn't really follow this, but it's popped up on some comic book news sites because apparently this gentleman who was doing the filming and posting it was a former Marvel Comics editor.
of course he was.
Which is kind of fun.
They just got their hands in everything, don't they?
Oh, yeah. It's fucking Marvel Comics. It's Disney's owning the world. I'm so sick of... And I think we talked about this just for a super second, is I wonder... I have to wonder if the lady didn't specify that he was an African-American gentleman who was, quote unquote, threatening her and her dog, if this would have been as big of a deal or if it would have been seen from the other optic, which is, hey, there's a lady in a park and this man is like getting up in her grill about this dog and how we're supposed to protect women the right thing? I guess I can't.
Well, and again, Travis, she's wrong. She's a bad lady.
I'm not disagreeing with that. Absolutely. Like
she should have just walked away. Pick up your dog, walk away.
Right, exactly. Get out of this guy's purview, and it doesn't matter. Everything kind of just falls apart because you just been like, okay, guy, whatever, and left. And that way, then, if the guy would have followed her to continue to accost her about her dog being on a leash, then she would have had a leg to stand on. But if she's just standing there and they're arguing back and forth and she calls the cops, yeah, absolutely. This broad is totally in the wrong.
Some weird guy without a dog walks up and tries to pull some weird treats out of his bag and give him. Then again, Travis, I say that.
It'd be the same thing if, like, this happened at a Chuck E. Cheese and the guy didn't have a kid.
Right. He's at a dog park.
Right. Have a dog. Yeah, maybe the
he's a birder,
is great
Travis.
Here.
But then again, I don't think you wear birder identification. I don't think you say, hey, I'm a birder. I'm here to look at birds. You're just a creep out in the woods.
It's not a press pass sticking out of your headband that says press. Birder.
Travis, I want to talk about this palm reading gal. Because I think it's a prank. It has to be a prank, right?
Palm reading gal, is this again?
So this palm reader gal, she emails me on Monday, January 28th. And she sends me her resume and why she'd be a great guest for us. She reads palms. We can send her pictures of our palms and she'll read them. And people, they can call in and she'll read their palms too. So, I mean, promptly, I get an email from a palm reader, Travis, and I ignore it because what the fuck are we going to talk to a palm reader lady about? So then 2 weeks later, I got a different press release about palm reader lady. And that was in February, April 10th. So a couple of months go by. I get this email, Travis. It says, hello, Mike. I am unable to do the show I am scheduled on for April 13th. I held off as long as possible before contacting you. In March, after our cruise, I saw the doctor for sores in my mouth. I had minor surgery. Then he sent me to the dentist. I've been unable to talk or eat much since March 11th. If you throw me out, I would understand, but I would love to be a guest in the near future. So I didn't book this lady, Travis, and she's canceling her appearance on a show that I didn't book her on. So that was April 10th. So then I sent that to Travis. We had a good laugh about it. But now it's getting weird because now the emails are fast and furious, Matt.
Oh, now I know. This is fun. This is a lot of fun.
So on the 20th, that was 6 days ago, Matt, I got, hi, Mike. Thanks for having me on the show today. It was a fast hour and fun for me. After I do your palm, maybe you will see that I meant by in-depth readings and we can present it air the next time I come on the show.
So she was on the show. We don't remember it.
Travis, do you think she was on a show and she's getting us confused with somebody else? Or is this a prank?
No, I feel like she was probably on our show and we were all like inceptioned and do not recall.
So Travis, on the 22nd, 2 days after this, thank you. I got this email. Hi, Mike. Thanks for sending the tape of the show so fast. I listened to it and laughed. I will post it on my Facebook page and website. Send me a copy of your palm and age, and I will do your reading. And so I sent that to Travis, and Travis said, oh, you got to send her a picture of your palm. And so I took a picture of my hand. I considered sending it, but she's been sending emails to mike@wfodshow.com. And I don't want her to know my real email.
So you got to send it from mike@wfodshow.com.
That isn't a real email, Travis. That's a trick. So
how does she get it then? How are you getting these emails?
Well,
if that's not
it's
email?
Like a forward, Travis.
Oh yeah. So send it. You can log on to the actual mike@wfodshow.com and send it to her from there.
So then 2 days after that, I got another email that says, hi, Mike, when I relied to you the link you sent of the show, got lost in cybermail. Please resend so I can post it. Like every 2 days now, I'm getting another email about this appearance she made on her show that she didn't make, Travis.
So what you do is you send her like a Hornswoggle's interview and hope that she posts that on her Facebook page.
that's not a bad idea, actually. I just reply and send her the picture of my hand.
Yep.
And say, here's the interview the episode. With Hornswoggle.
Yep.
And say,
and
hey,
also, here's our interview with Hornswoggle.
Hey, you were great, Palm Lady. Like, Travis, I found another interview she did on another podcast. She's boring. She's a boring old lady.
What does she have to say? Does she do anything more interesting than push a tire around?
Matt, see, the thing about the tire guy is he pushes this tractor tire around because his dad used to push a tractor tire around.
I mean, you know, you got to be pretty fucking boring.
And he inspires the whole town by pushing around this tractor tire because it's heavy, Matt. It's a big tractor tire. And he pushes
did you ever
it around.
Think about how this lady might be inspiring her entire town by reading all the poems?
Travis, send this lady a picture of your hand and see what she sends back. And maybe
I'll
she
send it. Yeah, I don't, yeah, I'll do that.
She's going to start sending you goddamn emails and talking about the shows that she was on that she wasn't on.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with that.
Is it weird for me to think this is a prank? That's like a paranoid thing. I shouldn't think that.
No, yeah, obviously she's just getting you confused with a show she actually did.
Yeah, and I mean, if she's an older lady, she's probably just...
So, like, it's more feasible that this is a schizophrenic gal?
Well, and, you know it's not like the name Mike is all that uncommon. Whatever podcast she actually did could have had a Mike email address.
But she keeps emailing me like it's a reply to an email sent to her, but... Why doesn't she just reply to the email sent to her? Why is she sending me a new message that says, hey, I'm replying to you sending me this thing. Why is that happening?
Listen, maybe what is going on here, since she has obviously tapped into the metaphysical, is that maybe she's on our show next year and she, in her mind,
shit.
And is responding.
Travis, I didn't even think of that.
That's going to happen.
Oh, Travis, we got to book her now. For
now, this has really fucked me up.
May 20th, 2021, right?
Yeah.
Whew. That's deep. Like, that's so
heavy.
She's just kind of... So is she making it happen by sending these emails? Or was it just... going to happen no matter what?
Oh boy,
you know what I'm saying? Is she forcing it?
Oh, this is the dilemma of time travel, but this is a little bit different. Is like sometimes with time travel you create the reality that you lived by doing it and conversing with the people in the past,
right?
But I feel like this is more so it's a combination of both that I don't know, maybe we weren't going to have her and now this is leading us towards, I'm not tapped into this world, the ether, if you will. But you know,
I mean, how does it work in the realm of on-demand podcast audio, Travis? Cause I mean, like theoretically you could time travel to any of our back episodes
and feel like it's happening right now.
So like have all the shows that we are going to do they kind of already exist, even though really the only ones that you can access are the ones that we've already done?
So like our fate is sealed. Everything that we're going to do is already set in stone. We just haven't got there yet.
Yeah,
man, this is heavy shit, man.
Yeah, I was fine with all of this until fucking Travis opened his mouth.
Now you're really going to have to dwell on it, and we're really going to have to piece this together.
I mean, like, is she listening to a radio, and then you're just like, you know, like future you is coming through like, hey.
So you're going with mistaken like identity, Matt?
No, not anymore.
Yeah, this is a lot like that movie Frequency, where Dennis Quaid is talking to Jim Caviezel in the past.
Very much Frequency.
Yeah. Now, Matt, this woman has sent me a total of 6 emails.
Right.
None of which I have replied to. Like, I have never interacted with her.
Have you gone to your sent box, Mike? Because maybe you are responding in the future.
Oh, but I wouldn't see things that I've responded to in the future.
fuck. See, that's the problem. But because you are you in the past.
But now that we've had this conversation, I am for sure going to interact with this person.
Right. Like this series of events, even if they came from the future, has influenced your decision making.
I mean, I would not have replied. And I mean, we can prove that I would not, because I did not. She's been emailing us since January. But like,
and
now
knows what happens if you don't email her.
It's
that effect.
Tenacity is what it is, Matt.
It's like that email chain thing. If you don't forward this to 10 people in the next 30 minutes, bad things will happen to you.
Are you saying it's like The Ring?
Yeah. If you don't respond to the email within 7 days, you die. Which is going to really put a damper on our releasing episodes.
Yeah.
Week
or
after
just
week.
Book good guests, right? Instead of shitty ones?
Well, I don't know, Mike.
I mean,
he didn't push a tire around.
Matt, he pushes the tire around because his dad pushed
the tire. You explain. Every time I hear about it, it makes me mad.
And, like, he just pushes it around. And, like, when he goes to the store, he sets it down. And nobody's going to mess with
it. Did you book him yet on the show?
Absolutely not, Matt. Absolutely not. We're booked for, like, months.
Hey, we when we book guests, it's people who whisper to people about cigarettes and shit. It's not some just random tire pusher, you know?
Guys, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're talking to Jameson Jones. He's in
Jameson Jones right here on WFOW.
He's in the number one film in America right now.
I really like the alliteration of his name.
Jameson Jones, guys.
Jameson Jones.
It's like a superhero secret identity name.
Do people call him Jamie for short? Ooh, that's a good question.
That's a good save that.
Write that down.
I'm gonna make sure I open with that. Right out of the gate. It'd be like, Mike's going to be like, oh, this is Jameson Jones. Hey, Jameson.
Do they call you Jamie for short? That's good, Matt. Save that. Guys, we'll be back.
Tonight's the night that I got to get a good night's sleep. Because tomorrow there's a lot of trees to cut down. Chop, chop, chop. Chopping trees.
Live.
Online and on your smartphone.
Strangelabel.com.
Physical Attraction is the show that explains physics, science, and technology. From the existential threats to humanity, to the impact of technologies on our society, through to the fundamental physics that lies behind it all, we'll take you on a trip through nuclear fusion, neutron stars, artificial intelligence, and quantum mechanics. From interviewing experts to intricately researched narrative episodes, Physical Attraction strives to explain fundamental questions about how the universe works and where the world is going. You can find Physical Attraction at www.physicspodcast.com, on social media as PhysicsPod, and wherever you listen to podcasts. www.physicspodcast.com.
Having trouble deciding what products to buy because you don't want to support a business owner who doesn't agree with you politically? That's why I created the new Bilateral Pillow. We divide our workforce into two separate buildings, making it easy to tell which pillows were stuffed by like-minded allies.
Look, it says it right there on the box.
And me? Don't worry about me. I believe in nothing. The Bilateral Pillow. Don't lose any sleep over it.
Doctor! No electricity. What to do?
Refreshments, Herr Doctor. Mother, look!
It's the Pepsi Max! Quickly! I have created life!
Pepsi.
It's a monster! Kill it!
Pepsi Max. Zero calories, maximum Pepsi taste.
WFOG. Dildos are not essential items. Books for kids, yes, but dildos? No.
guys. Welcome back. Our guest tonight is a veteran film actor whose latest, The Wretched, is playing in drive-ins nationwide. The reigning king of the box office, Jameson Jones, is on the program.
Yeah, that's right. Reigning king of the box office.
Jameson, how's it going, man?
It's going great.
This this story about this movie that you're in, it's kind of, I mean, of course, it's under terrible circumstances, but it's kind of a fun story, isn't it?
It is. It's actually kind of unprecedented, really. It's amazing how IFC decided to go ahead with the release in just a few drive-ins because they had promised a theatrical release, and then they put it out on VOD at the same time, so it was available online just as much as it was available, actually more than it was available in theaters. And it started at 2 or 3, and then it went to 13, and then it went to 45, and I think we're up to 60 drive-ins now. It's I think the unofficial box is $549,000 and something like that, which is crazy for a little indie like this at the box office.
So for people who aren't familiar, The Wretched is I can call it a low budget horror movie. I mean, it's not like a big
budget. You can call it a low budget horror movie. I mean, for what it is, it's quite beautifully done. When you're watching it, you don't feel like you're watching a low budget horror movie.
Right. No, I mean, it looks great. It's like the only movie that's come out. So,
that's right.
So if you want to go see a new movie, you're going to see this. And
that's right.
It's playing in a bunch of drive-ins nationwide, and it's been the number one at the box office for, is it like 4 weeks now?
4 weeks running, yeah.
The fact that this story is happening and that major horror news websites are picking it up and saying, hey, this little indie film, The Wretched, is like kicking ass at the box office right now, is amazing.
It is. It's really amazing, and it's kind of unbelievable the press that it's getting as well. I mean, everybody wants to review it. Hollywood Reporter, The Variety, New York Times, LA Times, Detroit Free Press just had something come out. Entertainment Weekly had some out. Variety's written 3 articles on it. It's going to be Brett and Drew Pierce, the directors of the movie, are going to be on Good Morning America tomorrow.
Nice.
It's just amazing.
So I guess it's a witch movie. There's a witch that lives next door to you and your son. Travis, to best describe Jameson's character, I'd say he's Mitch from Baywatch, but it's in Michigan, so everybody's wearing flannel.
Oh, so he's a lifeguard then, though.
Well, are you a Baywatch guy?
I run a marina.
Oh, that's not.
So it's not. It's nothing like Baywatch, Travis.
No. nothing like Baywatch. It's more like Jaws. It's more like, I think when they originally had written the script, they wanted Liam Shaw, who's my character, to be the sheriff of the town. But then they felt a little bit like that was a little bit too much in the same wheelhouse as Jaws. So they, made him running this marina, and the husband and the wife are separated, and the son comes to stay with me for the summer and work at the marina, and then bad stuff starts to happen at the neighbors. But since he's a troubled kid who's not always telling the truth, I don't believe him at first.
Classic.
Exactly, right?
Fucking kids.
These kids.
Don't these characters have to realize when they're in a horror movie that they always have to believe the kids? Always believe the kids.
I know. If you know you're in a horror movie, you got to believe the kids because you know that they're telling the truth, even though they think they're lying.
So you're from Michigan, aren't you? Aren't you a Michigan guy?
Yeah.
And so
yeah, I was born and raised in Michigan.
Did that play into your decision to want to make this? Is you got to go back to Michigan and do Michigan
it
stuff?
It did. I was thrilled to go back to Michigan. And Traverse City is a beautiful town that I hadn't spent much time in as a kid because my parents had some friends who had a place on Beaver Island, which is just 20 miles outside the Pinky there. And so we would drive through Traverse City to Charlevoix and go up there and take the boat across. So it was really cool to go back and spend time in Michigan. Everybody that I know lives 20 minutes from where we were shooting, so I had visitors every day on the set. It was really kind of fun.
Oh, you got to give everybody the tour?
Yeah. I think I saw the whole movie before it was cut, because I would take whoever came to visit the set up to Terry, who was editing the movie, and say, hey, show him that scene we shot yesterday.
And you've been around for a pretty long time. You've done a whole bunch of stuff. You were you were on General Hospital twice. I guess you were on General Hospital long enough ago that they were able to use you again to play somebody else?
That's right. That's right. I think I did that in a couple of shows I was on.
You played somebody else twice. And not like the evil twin of the previous character?
Exactly. You know, it was like, oh, he doesn't even look like he used to look, so let's just bring him back.
Oh, on 24, you did the same thing, didn't you? You were like a different guy later on, and Jack Bauer didn't even recognize you.
That's right. That's right. Had he known, he could have figured out the problem.
Did he shoot you both times?
No, he didn't.
Oh, fantastic.
The second time I was head of the Secret Service for the president and got blown up in some press conference, you know, because I had to save his life. That's a terrible job. Who would do that?
Matt, you had a really good question for Jameson that you were discussing before we added him in.
No, we were talking about fast food, and like on the West Coast, they have In-N-Out, and we don't have In-N-Out here. And it bums me out because, like, you guys are blessed out on the West Coast with like the best fast food ever. You have Jack in the Box, In-N-Out. In certain areas, you got Whataburger. And like we still just get the staples. Like, we don't have a unique or really a unique place that's just for us. You know, we have McDonald's and Wendy's and all the typical shit.
We're actually lucky in the Midwest where we have Culver's.
Yeah, Culver's.
Right. For us. You have Culver's.
Do you guys have Five Guys?
We do.
Yes. We have Five Guys. Yep.
Okay. Five Guys is good. You know, it's always a debate in my house. It kind of narrows itself down to two things. It's either Five Guys or In-N-Out. And I'm always the fan of In-N-Out. Not to mention, yes, Five Guys is about five times the price. That's why it's called Five Guys. It should be one guy. Then it would be the same price as In-N-Out. It's like five times the price of In-N-Out.
I've only been to Five Guys a couple of times. And I think the couple of times I was there, I didn't realize they apparently give you peanuts to throw everywhere.
Yeah. They're one of like the Texas Roadhouse type
places. That's when you know you're in a good place, if they just give you shit to throw on the floor. Don't even bother throwing this away. Just
scoop them up and
toss it on the floor.
Exactly.
I mean, I've been in taverns that did that, where they had peanut night, and, you know, where you'd be sitting at the bar drinking your beers, you'd crack your peanuts, and if you, like, left them on the bar, like, the bartender would, like, flip out at you and be like, those belong on the floor! You know, yelling at you, like, pissed off that you're trying to keep your area tidy or whatever. But, yeah, like I said, I was in Five Guys a couple of times, and I was reading people talking about the peanuts, and I'm like, man, I did not see any peanuts in that Five Guys that I was in.
We had the quintessential...
They're not there right now.
We had the quintessential Los Angeles experience, Travis. We made the road trip out there. We spent a couple of days. We did all the touristy things, and on the way back, we stopped at In-N-Out. And we just got a donut box full of In-N-Out burgers. Oh. And we just drove back across the country, we didn't refrigerate them. But we probably should have died.
Nah, you put those on the dashboard, they're still good to go.
Yeah, we just had them sitting up on the dashboard.
Keep them hot in the sun. You're good.
Yeah, it's the same thing as putting them under like a heater lamp.
Yeah, I don't know I don't know if a donut box full of In-N-Out burgers is on the menu, but that's what we got. And we just drove across the country slamming In-N-Out burgers out of a donut box.
Well, for everything that I've heard about,
fantastic. Right,
everything I've ever heard about In-N-Out is that chain seems like they're kind of outlaws, where, you know, you're not expecting to get a donut box. You've been going to In-N-Out for 10 years, and all of a sudden you show up, and then they just hand you a donut box. I think they just switch it up and just do whatever.
Yeah, the In-N-Out has a whole secret menu that doesn't even exist, but they know it. Everybody knows the secret menu. The animal style fries we were talking about. Those are the most amazing. They take these French fries and cover them with cheese, and then smother them in grilled onions, and then cover them in that secret sauce that they have. Oh, it's so
that's
good.
That's the same. That's the ridiculous fat guy shit that I do at my house, right? Like, I take something that's terrible for you, and I add more shit that's terrible for you.
Right. That's right.
All of it.
Just make
any
it
of
worse.
Those fast food places that kind of embrace the idea of what they are, like, and I feel like that's what's wrong with like McDonald's, is that they just like, okay, we're trying to like really make it healthy. Like here we have the McCafe, and we have like the salads,
salad
and
cups,
and sandwiches,
exactly.
And all the shit. And it's like places like In-N-Out and Jack in the Box just know what they are. Like we are a fast food place. You're gonna come here. You're gonna get a burger. That's really inside of a burger with mozzarella sticks, and that's what you're after.
Well, like, I think the closest we have to that is like Hardee's Carl's Jr., where they're like, right. We don't give a shit. How about some fried jalapeno, like deep fried jalapenos? There's a giant wedge of cheese baked into this giant burger. We're going to charge you $14 for it, but it's going to mess you up for like 3 days. So
yeah, well, In-N-Out, they just do burgers and fries. That is it. There's no other extra things.
But they're great at it.
Chicken McNuggets or anything. Yeah, they just do one thing and they're fantastic at it. You can get a 2x2 or a 4x4 or a Flying Dutchman or a grilled cheese, but everything else, it's just burgers.
Jameson, is it fair to say that In-N-Out is like the consolation prize for moving to Hollywood? Like, you go there to chase the dream, and I mean, not by a law of averages, everybody can't make it, but
right.
They get out there and they can have as many In-N-Out burgers as they want. And so is it really all that bad?
That's right. You chase the dream. You didn't make it, but you got In-N-Out as often as you wanted, any day and every day if you wanted it. Yeah.
How long have you been out there, Jameson? How long have you been in?
I've been in L.A. for 25 years now, I think, almost.
Yeah. Do you love it? Or would I've heard from plenty of people in the industry that they're out there specifically because of the industry. If it was up to you and you could still be in TV and movies, would you live back in Michigan?
You know, I think I might at this point consider moving somewhere else. I love LA, but there's a love-hate relationship just because it's stunning. It's beautiful. We live in a wonderful part of LA. We're up in the Hollywood Hills. The beach is not too far away. It's beautiful, but the traffic is insane. And there are so many people here. And so there's something nice about getting away from it. And the more I get away from it, the more I think, oh, I kind of want to be away from it a little bit longer. Like the 5 weeks we spent shooting this movie in Michigan was just a dream vacation. You know, it's funny, the work that you do, you work so hard to get the work. And then when you get to work, it's like a paid vacation. My wife says that to me all the time. She's like, you're not working. I was living in a beach house with a kayak that I went out in every morning on Lake Michigan. She says, this isn't work. This is a vacation. I'm like, no. We work really late. And I just get up and do my stuff on the beach.
oh, yeah, because most of the movies, I guess, is at night because it's a witch movie, Travis. It's spooky.
Yeah, that's the thing about shooting horror movies, is all these late nights. But it takes, you know, a good 3-4 weeks to kind of reset your system. So you're just kind of up all the time.
Right. Is this your first foray into horror? You do a lot of...
It is. I've done a lot of television, a lot of theater, a lot of more mainstream film work, but
it looks like you play a lot of jerks in suits.
That's what I do. How did you know? I'm the asshole in the suit. That's what I play. So this was awesome to be the super cool dad, you know, who's walking around in jeans and a t-shirt the whole time. That was awesome.
And not believing his kid.
Well, he's a liar, man.
Yeah, those fucking kids. Jameson, did obviously your movie's playing, The Wretch is playing at drive-ins. Did you get a chance to screen it at a drive-in yet? And have you had that opportunity? There's not many of those left, obviously.
Yeah, there aren't. But there's one here called the Mission Tiki Drive-In in Montclair. And so the cast and the crew... There were probably 25 or 30 of us that went out with, you know, just as many friends and family on top of that. And we all went to the opening day, May 1st, out at the Mission Tiki. And we parked, did our social distancing. Variety was there writing up on it. Some other news van was there doing a write-up on it. So it was really cool because it was the exact opposite of a red carpet opening.
Right.
And yet we're all there together watching the movie, and people were excited about the prospect, and we're really excited to get out of the house for 2 hours and watch a movie.
You pull that sucker up on your car speakers, or how
yeah,
does that work?
Yeah, exactly. That's what you do. You tune it into like 91.5 or something like that, and you play it out the car speakers. Although I got a truck, so I backed it in, and we sat in the back with some
nice.
Hell
some yeah.
lounge chairs. It was awesome.
That's got to be such a cool experience, too, and like such a different way to see your work for the first time is to see it. Because the drive-in is such an experience, you know, rather than just sitting down in front of a screener, like to actually like be able to enjoy it, not necessarily in a theater setting, but just like in that cool, classic drive-in setting. It's got to be a really cool way to see the work with people for the first time.
Yeah, it was really cool for all of us because for the cast and crew, we kind of got the best of both worlds because we premiered the movie with this whole red carpet thing in Montreal earlier. That was late 2019. And so then we had another event at Screamfest here in LA. So we had already had these great events and these gala openings inside these theaters. So people were like, are you disappointed that your movie isn't, you know, having this big red carpet premiere and you have to come see it at a drive-in? I was like, no, this is awesome. This is the way you should see a movie. And the funny thing is that the Pierce brothers, their dad is Bart Pierce, who did a lot of the visual effects for those early Sam Raimi movies. And in those days, they didn't let the horror movies play in the regular right. theaters. They were relegated to the drive-ins. So for them, it was like this really cool throwback to the way they had to go see their dad's movies.
Now that you've been through this whole experience, do you have like the bug now? Do you have like the horror bug? Is it something that you want to continue to do? Or
well, this type of movie I love the horror. Yeah, so if it's one like this, that's this kind of I categorize this more as a thriller. I think some people feel like when they put it in the horror genre, they're like, there's no guts and gore and all that. And there is some of that, but this movie is really about building tension. It's about relationship. It's about character. And then as things unravel, bad things start to happen and it turns into a horror movie. But I sort of equate it to Jaws in that sense that, you know, 3/4 of that movie is all about character development. And then all that shit happens on the boat and you're in it because you care about these characters now. And that's how I feel about this movie. So yeah, if I can get another one like this, I'd do it in a second. It's so much fun.
It's nothing like Baywatch.
It's nothing like Baywatch.
There's no similarities whatsoever to Baywatch. Now that I think about it, guys, it's a silly thing to say. The Baywatch thing doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, hindsight though, right, Mike?
So guys, I'm telling you, if you're in the vicinity of a drive-in movie theater, you buy yourself a ticket, you go see The Wretched. It is available on demand. You can watch it.
See it as God intended, though, in a drive-in.
Yeah,
a movie like that is drive-in. Yeah, it's
so awesome.
It's necessary to see a movie like that in the drive-in if you have the opportunity to do so.
Yeah.
For Jameson, sure. we appreciate you hanging out with us for a little bit. It was fun. We should do it again when The Wretched 2 comes out.
Yes, absolutely. I look forward to it, man. I love your show. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it, Jameson. Take care.
Thanks, Jameson.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
Charles, I like that Jameson a lot. Nice guy.
Yeah, real good guy. And, you know, likes it. I mean, we were talking about In-N-Out for a bit.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You really know when Matt wants to bond when he goes to fast food. Like when Matt wants to open like, up Travis, he'll be like, hey, you like them cheeseburgers?
Yeah, that's how him and John Popper of Blues Traveler fame became such good friends.
Honestly, it's about how me and anybody who's friends with me ever really connect is over food.
You guys have that KFC double down? Oh, yeah, we're best friends.
Travis, I have a fun Matt story, and he told me this in confidence, but I'm just going to tell it on the show anyway.
Nice.
Travis, that's never good. Did you run it past him?
several years ago, Travis, on the Lotus Cast, Matt interviewed Lou Ferrigno. And
of King of Queens?
The former Incredible Hulk. Travis.
No. Lou Ferrigno, the neighbor in King of Queens.
Was Lou Ferrigno on the King of Queens?
Maybe he was.
Hell yeah, he was.
Travis, Matt just still calls Lou Ferrigno all the time.
Does he answer?
Yeah. Yeah. Matt talked to him for like 20 minutes the other day, he said.
What are you talking about? So on occasion.
He doesn't introduce himself. He doesn't say, hey, it's Matt from the Lotus Cast. He just calls him and just.
He has no idea who I am.
And Lou Ferrigno doesn't give a fuck and just talks to him.
Yeah.
that's totally the opposite experience that I had with Todd Glass. I texted him one time and he just totally ghosted me.
Yeah. Lou Ferrigno. So here's what happens with Lou Ferrigno. Lou Ferrigno always answers his phone and he sounds so suspicious right off the bat. Hello? Who is this? Like, he's just immediately needs to know and wants to know. And
so what
then
do
I
you
always
say? Like, hey, it's Matt.
Hey, it's Matt.
I say, hey, it's Matt with something like. So like we knew him because of the Rhode Island Comic Con. So sometimes I'll say that, like, I'll be like, oh, it's Matt with Rhode Island Comic Con. And he'll be like, oh yeah. Hey Matt, how you doing? And then
he does like, so many Comic Cons that he can't keep anybody straight.
Right. And we can just carry on a conversation. But this particular time that Mike is referring to is that, I had at work, like it was kind of a slow day. And I was, you know, trying to throw my dick around a little bit. So
yeah,
I was like,
he's
hey,
trying
let's
to
call Lou
impress
Ferrigno.
His friends and show him that he's right. A big shot. That
if
can
only
talk
Matt,
to the stars.
Sorry, if only Mike would have did that when he still had Mark Maron's phone number.
Oh, we probably still have it somewhere, Travis. It's probably
you said you lost it.
Well, I mean, it's probably in our Facebook messages somewhere.
We gotta find that.
Travis, we have a lot of people's phone numbers. We can never let Matt get on the account that you're on.
Oh, he'll call everybody.
Yeah, Matt will just write down all those numbers.
Yeah, I would.
So you were trying to flex to your buddies at work saying, hey, let's just, you want to talk to the Incredible Hulk?
Yeah. And we did, and we called him, and he did. He talked to us for a little bit, and, you know, like, at first, again, he's just like, "I how's everything?" And I talked to him about COVID-19.
How is he doing, by the way, with the COVID-19?
He's fine, okay. Travis.
That's good to hear.
He's still deaf. So.
Yep.
There's a level of trust that these people are giving us. And Matt does not honor the code.
I am not honoring the code.
Matt does not honor the code. He just calls them.
When Todd Glass called me on my personal cell phone and left the message before he came on the show, the only thing he said to me is not to give it to my parents. He said, just don't give it to your parents. I'm calling you from my personal phone. Don't give this number to your parents. But that's all he said. He never said, don't text me when I'm in town or don't text me when you have.
So you don't honor the code either, Travis? Am I the only one who has never called one of these poor people ever again?
I'm the only person in my contact list right now. I'm looking through it right now. The only person I don't think that I've ever reached out to after we talked to him was Kurt Metzger. Just because I feel like he's kind of a mean guy a little bit sometimes.
Oh no, and, you think
oh, yeah.
be
you
mean
give me Ferrigno's and I'll give you Metzger's.
Oh dude, I'll give you Ferrigno's number right now.
Yeah,
like I always make sure that I don't call Ferrigno from my phone either. Like I'll just say, hey, do you want to talk to Lou Ferrigno? And then I call, like, so call other people get Lou Ferrigno's phone number.
Oh, I
guys,
see.
So it's even more disrespectful,
guys. If you're a PR person listening to this episode, don't give us your clients. We don't honor the code.
Mike honors. You can give us the number. Just give it to Mike because Mike absolutely honors the code. But sometimes I want to talk to a famous comedian. So I just, you know,
text old Todd.
Yeah. Text old Todd. Hey, Todd, how's it going? New special is really good. You know, hope that he answers and says, you know, thanks, Travis.
You think he remembers you, Travis?
No, I'm sure he doesn't have my number saved.
Oh. Of people that I text, like I will still text John Popper every once in a while and just be like, hey, man. And he has no idea who I am, doesn't know anything about me other than like my car hit 400,000 miles once. And he got a picture of my kids at Christmas time and said, Merry Christmas, buddy. I hope everything's going well.
That's what John said back to you?
Yeah.
So, like, John replies.
Do you ever just, like, text him? Because I know you guys bonded over fast food. Do you ever just, like, text him a picture of, like, a burger you're eating or something?
I haven't. Like, I do it so rarely because, again, I know that I'm abusing the system, so I don't want to, like, grossly abuse what I have.
Just important stuff. Like,
you know, we're in a good position here to where not a lot of people get these opportunities. So,
yeah.
What else are we going to do?
All I've ever wanted is to become friends with some of the people that I've interviewed, and I've never come close to that ever. Like I was like always wanted to have some sort of bonding relationship. Like, oh, these people really liked being on the show and they respected me as an interviewer. And they was like, hey, let's be friends and send each other Christmas cards. And that's never happened.
Has it gotten close, Matt? Who do you think you got the closest with?
No, it's never gotten close at all.
I mean, we got to get the lead singer of LFO on or something. We could probably get close to them.
Maybe. Even then, I doubt it because I've had lesser bands on and they want
Matt, do you think
nothing that, to do with me.
Do you think that Jameson liked us okay? Jameson probably liked us,
Jameson,
right?
Yeah, Jameson was cool.
Maybe he could be our friend.
That would be great. I think Jameson
be honored.
Would be cool guy. And I think he would, too. Yeah. I think he'd be like, hey.
Fellow Midwest guy, you know? I mean, Michigan's just a giant lake away from where
I'm at. Would you say that it's a hop, skip, and a jump, Travis?
It's more like a ferry, an eight-hour car ride, 2 more hours on a ferry. you know, if it's cold outside, it's at, right. You know, a parka over a sweatshirt.
Maybe.
Over a long sleeve.
We need to try harder to have people back multiple times so that we can, because, I mean, in 15 minutes, you're not going to make good friends, Matt.
Even if they're on for 5 minutes, I consider them a friend of the show.
Yeah. And I mean, we've had John Fallon on like 3 times, but I still get a vibe that John Fallon doesn't really like when I tweet him. He sends me.
I feel like he likes us for the 2 weeks after we talked to him on the show.
He sends me gifts with guys doing middle fingers just about every time I tweet him, Travis.
What about
but I think that's Wally, like a fun thing. Is. Like we have that fun relationship, Travis.
Willie.
Where I
Wally.
What's his name? Willie?
Yeah, we got Willie. Chelsea
Willie Handler?
Dad. Yeah. Chelsea Handler's dead.
Yeah, but I mean like Willie Handler's just a guy, Travis.
Nah, he's an author. He's a writer.
Yeah, he's a motherfucking good dude right there.
He's a good dude.
Willie's a good dude.
Yeah. And Jameson's a good dude. So make sure that if you have the opportunity that you go out there and support The Wretched in drive-in theaters, not only is it going to be a quality motion picture, but you are also going to enjoy the majestic drive-in theater.
Travis, I saw The Wretched.
Was it fine?
It's fine. Matt, do you have what you would say is a pick of the week, something you want the people to know about, Matt?
My pick of the week recently, and I don't know if you guys will ever have the opportunity to do this, certainly not Travis, because I don't think any of his dogs live long enough to do so, but I've been taking my dog for runs with me. And
he's on a leash, though, right?
Always on a leash.
Oh,
never,
thank God.
Never not on a leash. And
my wife
really
takes my wife takes my dog on a run like every other day.
Which dog?
The big one.
That one you've had for how long now? Like
like January.
Not much time left.
January. No, we've had the little one for like 3 years now.
Frito?
Yeah, Frito's been around for like 3 years already.
My dog always walks in front of me. Like she cuts in front of me to be like tries to trip me and I have to stop.
You gotta stop that. You're the master. You have to. You that dog needs to either walk alongside of you or a little behind you.
I've watched YouTube videos, Travis, trying to learn the right way. Matt told me to get that gentle leader. I couldn't.
How's that working out for you?
I couldn't get the goddamn thing on her face. Get
one of those harnesses.
That's what the gentle leader is.
What the gentle leader? Yeah. So you clip it on their back as opposed to around their collar.
Oh no, it goes around the nozzle because that way if they pull. Like if they try to pull, it pulls on their face, and they're like, "No, fuck that."
My dog does better with the harness where you clip it on her back. I don't know what it is about clipping it on her back as opposed to around her neck or her head area, but she responds really well to the back clip.
Got my wife a inside tree plant that we have in our dining room, and she put some decorative rocks on top of the dirt for this inside tree plant, and the dog keeps trying to eat the rocks. And so I went to Home Depot today and bought some bigger rocks that she won't eat.
Does she still eat them?
Yeah. still, well, she's still trying to eat them. She, I have to like yell at her. I mean, she can't swallow them. They're too damn big. I got the biggest damn rocks I could find. But she still goes over there and tries to eat the damn rocks. She's trying to die all the time.
Listen. She's so stupid,
Travis.
You drop anything in my kitchen, it doesn't matter if it's food or not. If something is dropped in my kitchen, my dog shoots towards that area very fast because she just assumes it's food. So she's willing to take the chance that she's going to chew on a knife as opposed to not get whatever delicious food item.
Oh, yeah, she's chewed up a couple of knives and a couple pairs of scissors. She's trying to just die all the time.
We just threw a wooden spoon in the trash tonight because every time you open the dishwasher and there's dirty dishes in there, her head's in there licking whatever the hell she can lick. And
she won't let me sweep the floor. She wants to eat the broom that's in my hands while I'm sweeping the floor.
Vacuum too?
Oh yeah, the vacuum. She won't let me mow the grass. She won't let me do anything. I was trying to do something like the threshold in our back door is screwed up, so I'm trying to do something with that, and she just gets her goddamn nose and everything. Mm-hmm. Pain in the ass.
So this is just essentially, this is a, if you don't own a dog, don't get one.
Right. Don't ever get one. It's a terrible idea. Terrible. Probably don't have kids, too, because I'd imagine they're a pain in the ass, too.
Oh, yeah. Also, I mean, as rewarding as parents will tell you it is to make you be like, ooh, maybe I should have kids. It's all kind of a sham just to cover up the fact that it's a miserable experience that makes you drink more alcohol.
Right. Just start a podcast.
Get a podcast, get an other hobby. I don't know. I mean, post to Instagram a bunch and Twitter and Facebook. Yeah. Just like be on social media all day. Don't have kids or pets.
Right. And then when Karen does something, you can get on here and bitch about it.
Yeah, videotape her and post a long rant about it.
Yeah. So your pick of the week is running with your dog?
Yeah.
Travis, did you
do a
pick of
the week? That's a good pick of the week, Matt.
Make me happy.
It's all about what makes you happy. My pick of the week this week actually is a motion picture that I really kind of had no interest in. But we just watched it this weekend, and Stuber with Kumail Nanjiani and Dave Bautista was a fucking delight. It was a lot of fun. I thought it was pretty damn funny, and it was just like it just felt good to laugh and enjoy something for an hour and a half. I really enjoyed Stuber. So it's on. It's currently streaming on HBO Now.
I like Dave Bautista acting.
He was really funny in that.
He's kind of like Arnold, where like he's not a good actor, but he's just fun to watch.
And he's funny. Like, you know, watching him as Drax, it's Drax. He does a good job as Drax. And I was like, ah, fucking Dave Bautista. But yeah, he's not a great actor, but he still is in Stuber, especially, I thought was quite funny.
You know what, Travis, with Guardians of the Galaxy, I mean, like, whoever did the casting for that movie should really be commended because, I mean, like, everybody is so great. Like, I mean, like, is Bautista, like, he's perfect for Drax because it's such a wooden, dry delivery. And I mean, like, he's so great for that.
But it's so hilarious. And even, like, you know, Bradley Cooper, whatever weird-ass voice he's putting on to do, like, Rocket is, like, perfect. Yeah, everybody in the Guardians movies absolutely are spot on. And I want to say that's probably a lot of a tribute to James Gunn, I think. And that makes me very excited for his Suicide Squad follow-up.
Guys, pick of the week, I guess The Wretched, right? The Wretched, it's a movie. It's in on video on demand. It's on, what's it called, the drive-ins. If you're looking to do the drive-in experience, that's the movie you got to go see because it's the only movie. So
hey, go take a look at that. Go watch Joe Bob Briggs on The Last Drive-In on Friday nights and then head out to the actual drive-in on Saturdays to see The Wretched.
Guys, I mean, we did it, right? We did it.
We did it.
That's a program. We're going to do another one next week. Might even do two next week. Who knows?
Yeah. You didn't quit it.
So, yeah, we appreciate all of you. Yeah, thanks. Guns out, funds out, right? That's my mama? That's my mama? Word. Now I'm on the inside looking for some loot. 38 special, I don't wanna have to shoot. I ain't no young, raw, fresh recruit. Steel toe boots, black khaki suit. A real quick search and nobody's home. Just like I planned, now I'm home alone. I hope you don't mind if I use the phone. And fix me something to eat before I'm gone. I got the silver and the china, deuce five and the nine. Rolex off the desk so I can tell the time. No one knows where the flow goes when the dough grows. You better take some no dose. Now I'm out the back with a sack full of goods. Throw it in the truck, take it back to the hood. Let me be brief, I'm on the creep. I stole the sounds out your Jeep. It takes a thief. My mind ain't wrapped tight. I scare like Mike Tyson, so call this Fright Night. You don't wanna see me coming down the street when I'm broke and it's dark. So run your motherfucking pockets where they find your ass dead in the park. Put your hands behind your head and interlock your fingers. No, I ain't the cops. I just want your rings and your wallet and your watch and your fat gold chain. Don't try nothing strange or I'm blowing out your brains. I rob from the rich so I can get rich. So I take what I can get. I need my mail, my snaps, my dollars, my ends. My grip ain't high enough, so I'm robbing all my friends. Somebody out there's out to get me. The smaller the nigga, the bigger the gap be. I don't give a fuck about your pain and your grief. You shouldn't have fell asleep. It takes a thief. It takes a thief. So I'm scheming on this shit. I heard he got keys and G's and D's and guns and big trash bags full of weed. I stole a brand new fresh ass telephone van. So now I guess I'm the telephone man. The bathroom window ain't got no alarm. I got a skeleton brick that works like a charm. It didn't take long to find what I was looking for. I was damn near finished when I heard a key in the door. I jumped in the closet and checked my clip. Pulled my ski mask down, I can't believe this shit. I counted to five and the front door opened up. I counted three more and the front door was shut. I counted five more just to give me some space. Then I jumped out the closet and bucked him in the face. I loaded up the van at broad daylight, cause Looky Loos had a high beams on at night. I take the back streets to avoid the heat and never let them see me sweat. It takes a thief.
Lots of good stuff happening. It's going to be juicy. You'll see. All right. Bye for now. Take good care of yourself.